copyright Forum of Christian Leaders. The contents contained on this website are solely for your own individual, non-commercial, and informational use. Any other use is strictly prohibited without our express prior written consent. See the full copyright disclosure at focalonline.org.
I've been asked to say a couple of words about myself, but first of all, I think most of you younger people, and you're all younger as far as I'm concerned, because I'm 70, will be wondering what this old fogey is doing standing up here telling you about modern media. I was once at a conference and they said, you need a young person up there to tell you. Well, I have the good fortune of having established a charity many years ago in 1988 when I was a lot younger, and we got involved in various things, but I'll just tell you the story how we got involved in modern media. We heard that President Chiluba in Zambia had become a Christian, and he declared his nation to be a Christian nation. And I was really impressed by this, but as a businessman, and I have run a rather substantial business, I felt like Christians would applaud it and think it's wonderful, but who would stand alongside him and do something? So I felt like I'd go there and find out what we could do. And we'd been on the peripheries of radio at the time. We'd supported various radio ministries, etc. And we decided that we would create a radio station in Zambia that would broadcast to the people, broadcast hope to the people, because it had been a semi-communist country before that, and this gentleman had come in. He was a wonderful man. He was a pygmy, I think, because he was so small, but he was a great man, and certainly in his first term he was really an example to the rest of Africa. Later terms, unfortunately, a few problems arose. Anyhow, so we were the second radio station after the national broadcaster, and in fact they put us in the constitution as being allowed to use shortwave, and the only other people who were allowed to use shortwave were the military and the government. So this was a real privilege. In fact, on the day we were launching, we still didn't have the license, and the Ministry of Information would not let us have the license. But so we phoned the president, and he's just said to his Minister of Information, I know they don't have the license, but I'm going there to launch it, so it's up to you whether you decide to grant me a permit or not. So the permit arrived just 5 minutes before we opened. We probably had about 2.5-3 million regular listeners in Zambia. One day, I heard Reinhard Bonnke talking, and he told the story about when he left his offices in South Africa. He said he couldn't pay the rent, and he's walking out in the street and saying to God, how is it, you're God, you've got everything, and I can't even pay the rent on my building? And God said to him, would you like $1 million? And he said, no, give me 1 million souls. That really impressed me. Because years later he was seeing 8 million decisions a year across Africa, but it showed his heart. And as I was driving somewhere, I remember thinking to myself, being a businessman, I'm sort of target orientated. If that was his target, what should my target be? And I was of the impression, because we did a lot of advertising in our business, that advertising touched people. We sell cars. But the idea was that touched them. They went into the car showroom and bought the car. So we had to touch them and excite their appetite. So in terms of Christian broadcasting, I thought, we're there to touch them. They go to the church to get saved. Actually, they get saved online as well now, we find. But anyhow, that was my impression at the time. So I was talking to God and said, well, his target was 1 million. What's my target? Because if my target is touch 1 million, we already had an audience of about 3 million in Zambia. So I felt God say, well, what comes after 1 million? I said, well, there's 1 millionaire, and then there's 1 billionaire. Oh, no, it's impossible. That was 1/6 of the world's population. It's not possible. And God sort of said to me, well, if it were possible, how would you do it? And I said, we'd need four or five major broadcasting facilities in all the world's major languages. After that, we managed to buy Pinochet's old station, Pinochet, the dictator in Chile, which broadcast the whole of Latin America and Spain and Portugal. So that was 600 million people that could hear. They wouldn't all hear, but they could, potentially. Then after that, we bought Radio Australia, which was the biggest shortwave broadcasting facility in the Southern Hemisphere. And it only Voice of America was bigger, so it broadcast China and India and everywhere else. And then later on, we bought one in Germany, which broadcast to Eastern Europe. So by the end of this, I was starting to get the idea, God's serious. He actually means that we should try and touch a billion. So we developed this program called Touch a Billion. And then over time, shortwave audiences started to drop, but other strategies came up because we were making programs in Miami for Latin America and satelliting them down to Chile. We found FM broadcasters wanted to take the message and rebroadcast, and they asked our permission. So bit by bit, we said, "Oh well, okay." We now have 550 FM broadcasters in Latin America who are broadcasting what we produce in Miami. So ultimately, we were able to shut down the shortwave because it was being done by FM, which is more effective. And then, of course, the internet started taking off. So that's how I got into internet, and that's how you've got this old chap up here telling you about what we're up to. So I was in America, and I was talking to some professor, and he told me that what I was talking about was completely like a new gospel highway. You know, in the original times, the gospel was taken by foot or by boat to different parts of the world. And that's why the Bible says, how beautiful are the feet of those that take good news, because that's the way they traveled. Okay, they might have been on horseback from time to time, but the Roman roads was a means of communication and getting the word out, and it was from person to person, word of mouth. It's wonderful, but not easily scalable. So they did an amazing job in the first few centuries actually taking it around the world. Then came, of course, the printing press. We just celebrated the 400th anniversary of the King James Bible. This was tremendous. Actually, by the way, King James did something unusual. I don't know if you know, he was the one who put verses in the Bible before it was just straight read through. And we were able to support something that happened regarding the 400th anniversary. And I myself learned at that time that the verses in the Bible came from King James. But that was a tremendous way. And it had great potential to be scaled, because before, of course, a lot of people didn't read, but now people were reading. After that, we had the advent of the radio. That's a pretty old radio, but that's probably one of the early ones. But you know, Christians used to think this was of the devil and that they wouldn't use it. So we've been resistant in the past to modern media, and that was modern quite a long time ago. But still, it now is one of the most important things. But it has certain setbacks. For instance, you have to own a studio. You have to have transmission equipment. You have to have people producing program and content and then putting that out there. So it is expensive, and I know from our shortwave broadcasting, the power costs of running a shortwave facility are extremely high. I have a bit of an allergy, so I'm going to just halt for a moment because of the recording. So to be fully effective, though, radio needed follow-up. And we used to get hundreds of emails in Zambia. Sorry, not emails, it was letters. Until the postage cost went up. And then we suddenly found, number of letters dropped. So it was quite variable. And in the early days, they used to say one letter equals 8,000 listeners. I have no idea where they got that from, but it was a BBC figure. So our listenership either dropped by 50% or it was the postage cost, but it happened virtually overnight. But there were issues with that. But shortwave, the quality was not brilliant. So we ran it because I remember actually coming to Poland many years ago. Our first project was in Poland, which was supporting missionaries, church planters. And I watched, it was sort of closed under the Soviet time, but the trees were bending with the wind. And when I watched, I thought, you know what? The wind doesn't need a passport to get in. It doesn't need a license. It just comes in. And the Holy Spirit's the same, of course. And I suddenly realized shortwave and radio went over national boundaries. There were no permissions needed for it. And so that was one of the reasons we got involved with radio. So going on from radio, there was, of course, the TV. The early ones were pretty poor. There was black and white, and that, of course, is even more expensive to produce and manage. And this excluded a lot of Christians from being able to be involved in these sort of things. We ourselves actually did do a little bit of TV work, and actually we set up a TV network in Brazil, and that is still running today. It's in 22 of the capital cities. It's called Good News Network, but we passed that on to the nationals there who are running it today. But TV, very effective, very expensive, but still a real great medium. I think it's been used by Christians well in some cases, badly in others, so we won't get into that. But anyhow, over time, as I say, the shortwave started reducing its effectiveness because there were other opportunities. FM became increasingly available, but the problem with any kind of media like TV, there are closed countries. You can't get into India, you can't get into China, lots of parts of the stands, you know, Uzbekistan. You've got to get a license. You've got to put up a facility. FM is line of sight, so there's a limited range. So it's difficult. But and as we saw this going down, I remember looking at the ocean one day and saying, God, how do we touch a billion people? The ocean, every part of it is saturated with water. When will the day come when the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea? And I felt God say, I've already given you the answer. And I said, well, what is it? And he says, how shall they hear unless there be a preacher? And we need people to tell other people about the message. And then as we saw the internet come up, and like there's nearly 2 billion users of Facebook, we realized people can talk to people across the globe. You can be ministering to somebody in India. You can be talking to someone in America from here. The possibility of reach is fantastic, and I don't think I need to convince any of you of that. Otherwise, you wouldn't be sat here. So this became very clear, and the main issue was to get Christians to share their faith. We get bombarded by junk mail. And a lot of it's deleted straight away, or we put it in the trash and it doesn't even get to us. But when your friend sends you something, you're probably likely to read it. So the main thing seemed to me that Christians, if every Christian today shared their faith, tomorrow the world would be a different place. Because, you know, there's hundreds of millions of Christians. And one share, I remember one time we did a particular program, it was about Bono actually, and one chap who shared got 500,000 views. We got 1 million in total, but one of the individuals got 500,000 views. So it's possible to scale that. And the other thing is it's relatively cheap to do. In fact, there's a girl in Indonesia who just makes a I don't know what you call it, a blog, and people... I just watch 250,000 people are watching it every week, and all she's talking about is things like shoes she wears and different clothes. And you think, how is that possible? There was another one about a young guy who came out from the dentist's, and he was still high on this. 70 million people watched it. So we know it's possible to touch a billion people if we can engage Christians to do that. So Jesus went where people gathered. That's what we need to do. We need to go where people gather. somewhere along the line, I'm supposed to be showing you a short video, and Andrew's just going to go ahead and do that now.
Yes He is an app created by CB to help Christians use their online voice for personal evangelism. Great content that inspires, interests, and engages people. And, most importantly, presents the gospel, is available at the tap of the finger, giving Christians the opportunity to start a conversation about Jesus by sharing on social media or in private messages with family and friends. The growing Yes He Is community is passionately and boldly sharing their faith every day, encouraging each other as more and more Christians discover that there is a fruitful global mission field at their fingertips. It is a beautifully simple way to start a conversation about Jesus. Every day, around the world, millions of Google searches are made looking for answers to life's big questions. What is the meaning of life? Is God real? Is there life after death? Who is Jesus? CB's landing page strategy aims to place ads in these Google searches that directs people to a landing page that will answer their question, present the gospel, and connect them with a Christian who can help.
So here's the good news. Jesus was real. He is real.
Thousands of people a day are landing on CB pages that present godly perspectives on depression, life after death, loneliness, suffering, prayer, and more. People who might not have any Christian connections in their lives now have a way to find out who Jesus is, how to follow him, and connect with a local church. Every day through CB's projects, thousands of people are connecting to us and to churches with questions and needs. This is where the sometimes impersonal and lonely online world becomes very relational. Each response is a golden opportunity to lead someone to Jesus. Therefore, we take great care and responsibility with every person. Using a growing network of trained volunteers and churches around the world, we can respond quickly and start a personal conversation. We then compassionately and genuinely journey with people toward faith in Jesus and connection to a local church, which we consider a priority for each conversation. As an added benefit to growing the kingdom, this also provides Christians passionate about sharing their faith, the incredible blessing of leading someone to Jesus. CB Outreach is a unique innovation that enables churches to work collectively in mission online to find and respond to people who need Jesus. Similar to a landing page strategy, we create landing pages that feature local church pastors and evangelists explaining the gospel. These are then added to a church's own website and ads are placed to connect with people searching for God or answers to life's questions. The responses go directly to the church, providing them with the amazing opportunity to lead someone to Jesus and connect them to a local church.
And the brilliant news about Jesus is this, that the God of it all has not abandoned us.
This is the church working as one body to build God's kingdom. Storytelling has become the much-favoured strategy for business marketing today. Compelling quality content is created and consumed daily to sell products. CB has recognised the opportunity to create content not to sell a product, but to communicate the transforming love of Jesus to a searching world. Our passion is to create and curate with excellence short videos that Christians love to share, but also stories that communicate effectively, resonate, and touch the heart of non-Christians. Essentially, it is key that each story leads someone to the gospel, providing an opportunity for response. We do this in different languages, in many cultures all over the world, to reach many, always keeping the vision of a billion people in our sights. Go Everywhere started in 2014 when we considered the question, what would happen if Christians all over the world shared the gospel at the same time? so. We created a gospel video and we encouraged Christians to share it in a single day to prove it was possible. The next year, we aimed higher, targeting more countries around the world, and many more Christians joined together in a moment to share the message of Jesus. In 2016, we saw incredible numbers of Christians from many different countries and languages adding their voice to a single act of evangelism, sharing the gospel to millions all around the world. Go Everywhere is an opportunity to make the message of Jesus viral. We know the need. We have the technology. It's a kingdom opportunity we cannot ignore.
So that's what we're trying to do, to encourage people to use social media to share the gospel. There's not every technological thing we've accepted. For instance, there was a thing called Second Life. I don't know if any of you are aware of it. It's a while ago. We never embraced that. We're trying to sell real life, not Second Life or virtual life. And we have to decide which ones we're going to back, because it's moving so quickly. The investment, we have about 400 people working in different countries around the world and 22 places. And you know, we can't invest in everything. We've not got the resources of Google or all those kind of people, but we have to try and decide which ones we're going to go for. And of course, it's, as I say, it's moving extremely quick. In some countries, like, we have to produce the material there, because in China, for instance, the statistics we were showing you don't include China, or they don't include some other aspects that we do. There's lots of things we do we can't measure. But certainly this is a way forward for us, and a really important way. Imagine if every Christian did share their faith and did it regularly. You see the multiplication on that. Was it how many thousands shared and 10 million people watched? So we really have in our hands the tool to touch the world, and we've got to just use it as creatively as possible. The other thing is that every single person is able to produce material or take material and send it on. So I believe that to be the goal for all churches. Christians generally are not very good at sharing their faith. Apparently 7% of Christians actually ever lead someone to the Lord, which is really sad. Perhaps they're embarrassed, perhaps they don't feel they are qualified and they have the right words to say. Well, in these situations, we're giving them stories that they can actually give, so that the person in the story is telling them. And you can search that content by various categories, whether it be depression, suicide, or interests like football. And you can find a football star whose testimony is up there. So it's really a very effective way of reaching people. I'm sorry, my allergy is getting the better of me at the moment. We're in 12 major languages. The Bible tells us they overcame by the word of their testimony. Testimonies can't be argued with, and that's what we focus a lot on, is lots of testimonies of people in different situations of life which are relevant. Therefore, you can search for relevant content to send to your friend. If your friend's just lost a family member, you can find the right piece of content about, you know, bereavement, and you can send it to them. So that's the whole point. Very targeted, because the market is very diverse by age, by sex, by language, by location, by culture, even by access to technology. Some have got slow download speeds, so we have to use something that's much like a landing page type strategy. There are downsides, I have to say. And our principal problems are basically Christians are not accustomed to sharing their faith. Encouraging Christians to share their faith is really the hardest job we have with the Yes He Is campaign. Christians often have only Christian friends, and we want them to share with non-Christians. We're all about evangelism. We're not about entertainment. We're about evangelism. And so sharing with non-Christians. We also find a drop-off in the use of our app, where people are enthusiastic about it for a few months, and then after a while it's yesterday's news. It's not really in the front of people's mind all the time to be sharing their faith. And then some people think it's the pastor's job to do, you know, get people saved. Their job is just to attend the church services. We have to attack that mentality if we're going to get people to mobilize to share their faith globally. The other point is, of course, they might just be sharing content that's totally irrelevant. It might be relevant to a Christian friend, but we're targeting non-Christians. So those are the downside. Landing pages, on the other hand, we do landing pages too, which is paid. We have to advertise, and it's paid advertising. Landing pages, they target non-Christians. They're in, and they actually have better responses, which is not the way it should be. It should be the one-to-one relationship with Christians sharing their faith. Unfortunately, we find the landing pages actually have a better response, which means it costs money, and in a sense, the real motivation of people sharing with their friends is how I feel the Bible tells us we should do it. Christians are there to share their faith. So landing pages don't achieve that one-to-one personal contact. And of course, we can't really... the answers could come from anywhere in the world where you can't put them into a local church. I've myself had to talk to a lady in, as a Filipino lady in Atlanta somewhere, and I had to try and find the right church in Atlanta to send her to. So it gets a bit complicated. CV Outreach was mentioned there. CV Outreach is, I don't know if you're aware, but Google gives $10,000 a month grants to Christian organizations. So we're working with a whole group of churches in the States, and I was just trialing it at the moment. We have about 200 churches, and we're producing all the materials, showing them how to optimize what words, and we're putting it out there for them, and that's proving to be very successful. We're launching it in England. There's four churches in England doing it. But it does require commitment from the church to have people there to follow up. And of course, they can get involved in chat and all sorts of things like that. There's a lot could be said about that. I think that's a wonderful idea. It's totally free. And we don't charge anything for anything, by the way. We're totally funded by our charity. The Go Everywhere thing was... I'm just rushing through to make sure I get plenty of time for questions. The Go Everywhere thing that we did was a one-off hit. The first time we did it, we used a thing called Thunderclap. And it meant that they accumulated all the people's information, and then on a certain day and certain time, they released it. Problem was, Google picked up on it, and we got from Australia through to about...
Facebook
picked up on it. We got through to sort of Africa, and then the whole thing got blocked. So, because it was all coming from one source. So the next time we did it completely different, we actually asked the people to just hold and asked them to put it on, so we had to send reminders out. That was a lot of more administration, but you had to send reminders out on the day and time. Please send your post your information now. And that's why we had a much bigger, like 10 million people watched it. So there are other strategies, and I'm sure amongst a group like this, you've all got great ideas. And the great thing is, it's available for you to do. We recently sponsored something at NRB, the National Religious Broadcasters in America, where we got students in 24 hours to produce a video. And the ones that had the most hits after 6 months, we gave some financial reward to. We had about, 50,000 on one of them? The other thing we can do is from time to time, when there's some major event, you can do something quickly. Like there was an underground bombing in Moscow some years ago. And we produced something about these people and their day and how it normally was and then how it suddenly ended. And the question is, are you ready? We had 70,000 hits on that. So the opportunity is to do immediate things, and you can do them very quickly. Finally, there's something which we haven't mentioned at all, which we've just recently been trialing. That's online prayer. And we have been really happily surprised. Who ever thought of prayer as an evangelistic tool? But In Africa we've been doing this, and every week we're getting between 50 and 70,000 views. And we're basically saying, we're here to pray for you. And the curious thing is, we're getting a lot of Muslims, because they know about prayer. They pray five times a day. They don't pray to Jesus, but he's still one of their prophets. And so people are phoning in, and it's, you see, we're sending them material and wanting a response from them. We're wanting them to do something. But when we're saying, we'll pray for you, we're saying, we'll do something for you. So prayer suddenly becomes an opportunity for evangelism, because if someone asks for prayer, they have to first of all acknowledge there's a God who can answer their prayer, otherwise they're wasting their time. So you've got to first base with them that they've said, yeah, there's a God. So we're now thinking of a lot of our videos to put prayer on at the end of it, instead of saying, have you got any questions, we can help you. We're now thinking and saying, if you need prayer. A lot of people, for instance, we got a video about a woman who had an abortion when she was 14, and she felt racked with guilt and her life was terrible and what have you. And now other people who felt the same probably wouldn't phone up and say they need some advice and help. But do you need prayer? Yes. And so we think that that could open up conversations. So we're just trialing that at the moment. So at the bottom of each of our videos will be opportunity not to just get help, but we'll pray for you. And in that way you collect the data and you can start working with those people. And now when their prayers get answered, and that's starting to happen too, that's even a different level of engagement with those people, because their prayers are getting answered. So that's something we're really quite excited about. As you can see, I don't know a lot about all this modern media, but I do know it works. And I do know that God is interested in touching the world. And I do know the world has placed in our hands a tool that will touch the world. And I do know it's available to every single Christian to use. And we need to use it. Basically, if we can encourage the church globally to see social media as a means of outreach rather than just telling people about their church services and that sort of thing, but actually grasp the idea that this is an evangelistic tool, I think we'll have a great opportunity to transform the world. People like ISIS managed to get people to commit suicide on the internet. So if they're able to do that, how much more are we able to do to give people real life and introduce them to Jesus? You can see as each region is waking up, then there's more visits. But, you know, that's possible in 24 hours. Now, we've been going at this for a few years. We need it to be much more than that. But the potential is for it to be, you know, 100 times that if Christians would just get engaged in sharing. It really, it's just a click of a button. You know, I think if the scripture that was written about how blessed are the feet, now it could be how blessed are the fingers that send good news. We could be doing that, just each of us, by just pressing the button. I do have a wonderful video that went about the, but I don't think I've got time to show it. If we run out of questions, I'll get a chance to show it. But basically, if I've got a message, is social media, you guys understand how it works. It's not now any longer down to the ownership of a radio station or a TV station. It's down to your individual creativity and your ability to find things you can post. And, you know, every now and then you're going to hit a home run and be able to share something, and hundreds of thousands of people will watch it. And that transforms the world. And of course, we're getting people coming to Christ all the time as a result of these things. This has potential to be explosive growth. And we've just got to be in that space. So I'll leave it there. I'll take any questions. And I have a quick story about a guy, a nuclear scientist, who made the most complicated speech ever you could imagine. And his chauffeur was driving him around everywhere, and he was keep making these speeches. Chauffeur one day said, look, I've heard the speech so many times, I could do it. So he said, okay, let's swap spaces. So they did. And the chauffeur made this most incredible speech. And then somebody asked a really difficult question. And the guy said, look, that was the most stupid question I've ever heard. I can show you how stupid that question was. Even my chauffeur can answer it. So if I ask Andrew to answer it, it won't be because you've asked a stupid question.
Okay. Thank you, Lord Edison, for the presentation. Let's give it a hand.